All right, so let's start off. I think the smartest thing to start off with first. There's three questions on the there's two questions on the table before we get to the Tosfos. Two questions we need to deal with. One is the order in the Gemara, okay? And the other one is the question about Rashi, why Rashi offers this alternate reason, right? What? Well, the first part of Tosfos.
Why not the second part?
That's we'll define that soon. That's the third question, but not yet. So what do you want to take up first? I think personally, really, not Rashi? But Rashi's dealing with the reason. See, Rashi's still dealing with the reason for Bishul Akum. The Gemara's not.
It's at least in and out of the reason. Reason and then like parts of it.
Yeah. Why would you want to do it that way? I mean, we could. I don't care. It's up to you guys. What do you want to do? You want to take up the Gemara first? Or you want to take up...
All
right, fine. The Gemara's, I think, very easy. But I think you'll get a sense of why this is a much easier type of sugya. No offense to people who want to still do speak, though, but it's... Nice, simple stuff. All right. So what does the Gemara say? Just be quiet. Who's, are you reading today?
Sure.
Oh, let's go. So let's review one more time. All right?
Yeah.
Let's go all the steps down.
So we say shkolos.
No, not shkolos. Right.
Shkolos. Yes.
Not dealing with money.
Yes, shkolos. Shkolos. But not only like, so from wherever that's at, from the Chumash. Amar Rav Baraba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Kro, Opa B'Kesef Tashim Green, but I can't see the mind. B'Kesef Titeim. Shisisi, come on. Okay, so that's the first.
All right, so what's the first thing?
Just as water is not changed, so to speak, so too foods that are not changed are the ones that are kosher because of a number.
Okay, good.
Okay, second step is so then what's the implication of that? So these cooked grains, it's like a granola type thing. Should be awesome because they have a change in them, so to speak. But we see from the prices that they're actually winter, so that definition can't be true of what kamayim is like. So we say rather it's like this. Kamayim, so what's mine? Ma mayim, so understand the briyasan, I've also understand the briyasan. So just like water is not changed from its creation, whatever that means.
Right.
So the foods that aren't changed from their creation should be mutter.
Right, okay.
But from here, but rather from here, we see that these flowers should be awesome. But if you say that, if you say this, but it's set in rice. All these types of flowers and, different types of flowers. These are mutter. So
mutter.
That definition can't be true.
Right. So finally, the last move.
Right. So el kamayim. So rather, it's like water. So mamayim, just like water. Or it's not changed from its creation on account of a flame. So
right.
Foods that aren't changed from their creation on account of a flame are the ones that are mutter. But then we have a problem with this that says midi or pasuk. It should have said or in the pasuk.
Right, that's the problem. The Torah right. Never says the word. The Torah never says the word or. So by not having the word
or. So we're right. Saying now rather it's actually their bonin, and this is actually been a smock depending on the
right, which means that since it's not smachta, you don't have the rigidity required for it to actually say or. All right, fine, but that's a separate issue. I just want to but let's just go through these three steps. So the first step is that maybe you'll say food that's subject to shinoi, that's possible. Gemara rejects it. Then the Gemara next says maybe you'll say it's shinoi, it's a change from its we'll call it original state. Gemara rejects that, and then the Gemara says no change with fire. And the Gemara accepts that. And change with fire is Bishul Akum. Okay? So what I want to know is, what are these three steps? What are the three steps? And what's very important about this Gemara is that this Gemara is really introducing you, I think, to what the halachic formulation is going to be of Bishul Akum. How they arrived at Bishul Akum. So what do you say? You dried out wheat kernels.
Not the fire.
Even if it was for fire, it wouldn't matter.
Why? Then it should be permissible.
No. Why?
Because the or.
What?
Not
I understand, but that wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Either,
the or, but the or is irrelevant in the first. You'll see why. The or is irrelevant. Yeah, what's each step here? You nishtana, nishtana riyasan, nishtana riyasan alide or. That's all I want to know. What are the three steps? Nice, easy. That's an easy one. That's it. Okay. All right. So the first question, the first thing is, what do these all share in common? That's the first, to me, in my opinion, that's the first thing you got to tackle. What do they all share in common?
Change.
Change. Okay. There's obviously nishtana. It's right there in front of you. There's some sort of change taking place. Now, forget the differences between each step. What are Chazal trying to seek out when it comes to Bishul Akum? We said this yesterday, right? In other words, what's the concern? The concern is that we don't want you socializing with non-Jews. That leads to intermarriage and all sorts of other things, right? So what are they going to say? They're going to take that concept and they're going to say, based on the non-Jew's involvement, his involvement in the food, we haven't defined what that involvement is yet, but his involvement in the food will allow us to express this shear of socialization. We need some involvement. We need a hisaskus, a relationship, an involvement of the non-Jew, and efforts expressed by the non-Jew when it comes to this food. So now the question is, what effort, how do we take that idea of effort, of the which is a very non-quantifiable thing, and quantify it? How do we take this idea of the effort that the non-Jew puts into the food and give it some sort of halachic expression?
We use effort points.
What? Effort points. So what's the, again, what's the simplest thing? Shinui, right? Okay. What Levi was trying to say is like, I think what you're trying to say is like this. This is easy. It's the effort per se that's the problem. Period. In other words, if he by modifying the food, the modification itself expresses effort. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't need any sort of change. That's a mistake you're making. It's simple. I take it from, it's from state of non-roasted to roasted, right? It could be from big apple to small apple.
So what is the difference?
It's not the difference. It's the fact that he engaged in some effort of changing it.
What do you think?
No, that's the point. It's the fact that he's engaged in changing it.
Whatever
it could be. It could be, honestly, it could be something as simple as, you know what,
if
it gets obvious. What?
If the kernel's off of the stalk.
Maybe. I don't know. The point, it doesn't matter. The point, though, is that that's the point. The point is he's done something other than just give you an apple. What has he done? He's done something other than the apple.
So any possible category.
Could be, right. Exactly. That's why. That's exactly the point. Every possible category.
Okay? Even taking an apple off of it, too.
I don't know. Maybe. It's a hobby, then. Could be. The point, though, is that there's something about the food where it's not just, there's some, it expresses some type of involvement. That's why I think your case is a good case. I thought of a similar case, like a fruit salad. Exactly, I think we're reading the same case. Like a fruit salad. Like, what did the guy do by a fruit salad? He just took a big thing and made it smaller. But he's not really, that's not really a modification. It's not a, oh, be careful. Oh, it's just showing that there's some effort involved. There's something nicker in the very thing itself that this guy didn't just give me X, but he put some effort into it. It just has to be that it's not the way it's normally is. There's some shinoi there. Like, and think about that. If a guy brought to you an orange, an apple, and a banana versus giving you a fruit salad, you say, oh, look, he gave me a fruit salad. What did he really do by a fruit salad? He just made, please don't tell us that somebody gives you a fruit salad, but he just took a knife out and just made things smaller. But that means there's an effort involved. And that's all you require. The idea of effort is expressed through shinoi. And the simplest shinoi is that by him putting effort in is the problem. And that's expressed through shinoi. It's just the very effort itself that's the issue.
Presumably,
that's exactly the difference. And this is why I can answer the 2-3 thing. That's the difference between one and these two are going to be combined now. That's the difference. This means change per se. This means change with an improvement. Okay? That's the difference. Not necessarily. It doesn't have to be tried. No. They're using it as an example, but that doesn't mean it is an improvement. It doesn't have to be an improvement. That's my point. What? I know, but what I'm trying to tell you is that's not the factor. The factor is that it's the change per se, or else you're not going to be able to. I'm telling you, that's why it happens to be that that case they choose, but that's not the anchor part of it. It's not an objective improvement, right? And I'll prove it to you. You don't make a different bracha. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. There's no separate bracha. It's the same food, okay? But here, in these two cases, what's happening? Methodology here. These two also share something in common. You know what they share in common? Improved change.
Hold on.
Right, so that's why it's Nishana Rabiasan. So it would seem like that there has to be, you see the case is what? Kernel of wheat to flour. So what have you done there? Through changing the food, right, this change of the substance, right, there's something nicker in the food now that it's improved. It's not just that it's changed, but it's an improved product. Now you got to think very carefully here. Watch. It's unique because flour, right, what's the difference? This is the key move. What's the difference between the change from wheat to flour versus this change?
But
be careful.
Redefines the entity.
What? But so does this, because you know why? You make a different bracha on flour, according to one sheet, right? And flour is not the same entity as wheat.
What?
No, come on, that's the key question.
You can't be right from bracha, because it's their bond.
So is this. So
No, seriously.
So what would you say here? In other words, think about this. What's the difference between going from, they're both improvements. What's the difference in nature of the improvement of wheat to flour versus let's say what do you call it, raw steak to cooked steak. There is a significant difference. Yes.
Is cheating?
What?
Cheating? Last week.
What was last week?
Monday night. Something.
Please.
It's further along in the baking of bread process.
That's okay. Versus this. So what's that telling you? This is not. So what's that telling you? That's good. Okay. Make that make sense.
Just changing the shape of it and ability of the flour, as opposed to taking something that's inedible and making it edible.
You're not changing it from...
Okay, better.
You're changing it from bad to good. You're changing it from bad to almost good.
Okay, now we're talking. That's this. Well, that's not bad. It's not that it's bad, but...
It's not
what's a dip? Ah, now we're talking, okay? And it was like this. Both of these are improvements, right? Right? But this is just an improvement. This is what?
Perfected.
What?
Optimized.
Meaning that it's... What?
Optimized.
Right, it's the optimized. It's the maximal expression of improvement. You can't get more improved than this. This is it. Once it becomes the steak, it is at its maximum state of improvement.
Can you read alphabetized
on the board? What? No. So this is a nice, beautiful, such a nice, concise, simple, brisker type thing. Okay, look at this. The Gemara has one overall question. The Gemara wants to know, how do we take the effort that the non-Jew exhibits in food and quantify it and give it like a halachic shiur? So we're going to say, we're going to look at shinui. If the change in the food is the barometer halacha is going to use of his effort. Okay. Now, what happens? The Gemara says. So the first thing is, if there's any effort per se, once you see something in the food that shows the goy just didn't give it to you in its raw form, but did something to it. Okay. Whatever that is, I don't care what that is. That's irrelevant.
Well,
that's a trap. You're right. It has to be something nicker, but it doesn't matter if it's tsura or this or that. What? No, but because it can. But no, it doesn't. But why does it have to be nicker? Because you have to know there was a change. Fine, but the normative case would be this, it's nicker. But that's why these two cases would be included as well. The point is, it has to be something. When I see, again, it's like the fruit salad. When I see the fruit salad, they did something. He didn't just give me fruit, he gave me fruit salad.
You're saying it's a universal category.
Correct, but it's the shinui per se. This is saying, no, the Gemara says that can't be, because you see the Gemara, they have a case to prove wrong. So what does the Gemara say? No, it's an improvement. That's what it's looking for. Improvement is what defines a change. That the guy is not just making the change, but there has to be some improvement in what he's doing. And that makes a lot of sense. That shows a certain type of effort, right? He's trying to make the food better. Now the question is, there's two expressions of better. There's better per se. In other words, when you go from wheat to flour, you have made it better. But what have you not done? You're not taking it into its maximum state of, not to put it descriptive, better. Meaning, there's a certain quality of, like you guys put it, optimum. There's a certain quality that exists that Bishel has that you can't find here. Bishel, when I take that food, when I take that raw steak and I make it cooked, what is it now? It's in its ideal state. It's not subject anymore to further improvement, like putting aside Mistam of Yafala. It's not subject anymore to any sort of improvement. That's what it is. It now is in its ideal state. So that's, and that is Bishel Akum. That's why the Isser is Bishel Akum. It's when the non-Jew, that's why they choose Bishel. See, that's why this Gemara is a brilliant Gemara. It's showing you how they came up with the idea of using Bishel as the barometer, okay? It also will show you why, as we do this, why there's so many exceptions, I hate to use that word, but exceptions and qualifications of this type of Bishel. Because it's not the substance, it's trafe. It's a question of how we understand this effort. Just as an example, as we'll see. An example is going to be, is that, this is we're going to be in this for a little while, but like, The Jew puts the steak on the grill, okay, and the guy comes along and stokes the coals. By stoking the coals, what does he do? He hastens the cooking process, right? There's a whole question: is that considered Bishel Akum or not, right? But it's not just Stam Maisa Bishel. That's not how it works. It's a question of how do we determine his effort. It's always about that. It's always how do we quantify? How do we take that effort and give it a halachic expression? That's the challenge of Bishel Akum. But this is the first step. This is understanding that when we say Bishel Akum, why Bishel? Because Bishel is the pure qualitative expression of optimized ideal food. Right? He's taking it from its raw state and brought it to its perfect edible state. There's nothing better than that. There's no more improvement he could do. What better expression of effort than that? Yes.
So two questions. Firstly, the second step.
What I love about these kind of Gemaras is that they're taking you right now, you as the reader of the Gemara, into their minds. You've now just entered into the Beis Medrash and see exactly how Chazal worked this out. All right? And there's at its genesis, this is what they're grappling with. They know there's a problem with socializing, and they're using this method, this Havi Maskana method, to get you to see how it has to be, or how it makes sense with the Bishel Akum.
But each Havi Maskana has to have its own merits.
Yes and no. Yeah. Next question is Rashi. What's the problem in Rashi? Very strange problem. So Rashi in the Mishnah says what? What's the problem of Bishul Akum according to Rashi in the Mishnah? Chasness, right? Okay, but then the problem is in the Gemara. Now let's be careful. If you notice in the Gemara, in the commentary on Shlokas, okay, he doesn't say this about Pasa and Shemen, only by Shlokas, right? What does he say there? He says the reason is it's going to lead you to eat something davar tame, okay? So Tosos asks on Rashi. He doesn't. It's not a knockout kashya on Rashi. He just says, I'm not sure why Rashi goes back and forth. Yoser nira chasnas. It's a better svar to say chasnas. But he's not saying Rashi's position is crazy. So I just want to know what's Rashi adding to the picture here. Why does Rashi bring in davar tame? Okay. Why, what's wrong with just sticking with chasnas? It seems like a very good reason. Wait, does everyone understand the question?
One more time.
Okay. Question is that why is it by The question is, why is it by... Rashi gives a reason in the beginning of the Mishnah that the reason why Bishul Akum is a problem is going to lead to this fraternizing with the enemy, right? And that leads to marriage, right? So just, that's a progression, all right? So the problem is, but then Rashi later on gives a different reason.
Yeah, with food.
Right. So that's very troubling. Like, we don't want two reasons. We want one reason, right? So Tosos jumps on Rashi and says, he doesn't dislike Rashi's reason. He's just saying the better reason is chasnas. So we have to answer is, why does Rashi offer this secondary reason? Why isn't one reason enough? I'm just trying to help you out by saying it's not a stira on Rashi in the sense that he's giving two reasons and he made a mistake or something like that. He's saying that the reasons can coexist. They're not mutually exclusive reasons, but we still have to understand what's Rashi adding by this second reason.
Do we have to explain why?
Food. What?
Do we have to explain why Tosu says that it's chasnas is better?
I don't think Rashi disagrees with that. I'm not sure if Rashi disagrees that. I think Tosfos is in a sense trying to learn Rashi to make sense. Meaning that I think Rashi would also agree chasnas is the ikar thing. I'm not sure if he's saying Rashi would disagree with that. I'm not sure.
So what he's saying that food, that no matter where the food is cooked, it would still be considered.
Impossible.
Right. So I hear that possibility. So one possibility on the board is to say that Chazal wanted they wanted to structure, even though the ikar reason is really chasnas, they wanted a deraisa, a pre-existing deraisa, to attach to xerah to. Right.
Unless you say
they're saying it's the ikar idea, but there's a problem. The problem is that how do you give chasnas to it?
Should the ikar idea be the deraisa?
But that's what's weird about it.
I think you could say, but you can't say that it's two different.
That's why I'm saying they're backdooring in. They're saying that, like, really, that is chasnas, but because we lack the means of giving it a halachic structure,
right,
we're going to go ahead and use.
Yeah,
I like that look because it's creative, but at the same time, I'm not sure. There's something about that bothers
why
me.
Why can't they just be both part of the same category?
What does that mean?
Part of the category.
I think what you were saying before, I was kind of thinking like that, but just putting it a little differently. In other words, Tosh is going to say that everyone agrees that the. What is. If I look at chasnas in the process here, right, chasnas is really an effect, right? There's the effect of having this food, right, is going to lead to chasnas. Chasnas is really an effect from the food itself, right? It has nothing to do with what, though. When does chasnas become a problem? Chasnas is, it's not that I'm now eating the food with the guy, but rather what's going to happen as a result of me eating the food with the guy. Forget if you have to actually eat it with him. But what's the result of consuming this food? It leads to chasnas, right? It's not that eating the food is chasnas. That doesn't make any sense. Hold on, I didn't finish. Let me finish. One second, let me finish. So one possibility is that it leads to, that's what chasnas is. Chasnas is an effect. Chasnas is the result. It's the result of the consumption, right? It's the result of the experience, right? But the problem is, though, it's nice to say that, but I think Rashi's hitting on a good point, which is that you can't ignore something else. What can't you ignore? Right, the eating itself. In other words, if I sit down and eat with the guy, right, if through the interaction of eating per se, there's another concern that emerges, right, which is you're going to get comfortable eating with them these foods, and they're going to come to eat something treif. But that's not...
Because chasnas is an effect. Chasnas is... You can't say that
that's an effect because that's not the
deraisa. Can you say that the...
No. I'm not saying anything deraisa. That's what these guys are saying. I'm not saying I agree with that. I hear that, but I'm not agreeing with that. That's their approach. Their approach is to say that... Their approach is... It is. That's why I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. Their approach is to say that Chazal sometimes need to... There's a precedent for this. Chazal sometimes need, like, a deraisa structure to rely on in order to introduce a drabanan. And this drabanan, I walked into that trap because I did mention that chasnas is a very like nebulous, amorphous type of idea. What I'm saying here, but what I'm trying to say here is more structured insofar as what the gzera is, since the decree is really chasnas. But what is chasnas? Chasnas is an effect. It's the result of the experience. But Rashi's saying, it's very nice to say that, but we can't ignore the fact that through the very engagement in the eating experience itself, that could also lead to something, which is you're going to be comfortable and start eating
Dabar
Tamid.
Why would it say that it's preventing
chasnas and not that? Once they aser bishul akum, right? And what's the iser bishul akum? It's not forbidden for the goy to cook the food. What's the expression of the iser? Right? It's me eating it. In other words, they took the idea of chasnas and said, you know what? We're going to take this socializing idea and we're going to say it's chal. It's expressed through the goy cooking and then my consumption of that food. Right? That is its formulation. But once they introduce the idea of bishul akum, of the goy cooking it and me eating it, and then the result of chasnas coming in, we can't ignore the fact that the eating experience itself lends itself to davar tameh. You can't ignore such an idea. That is a natural byproduct of creating the bishul akum. You understand? It's an inevitable consequence of it. But that's not the drive. The drive was to prevent chasnas. But it happens to be, it's almost like it's like you do an experiment, and all of a sudden, by doing this experiment, this strange byproduct comes out of it. Just as an example. Well, no, it's not an example.
Not as a byproduct.
But the regulus isn't attached to the effect of the experience. It's attached to the very involvement in the experience itself. It's a different kind of regulus.
Right, but Tosa says, the drive force was actually is there
you're right, but he still has to deal with the fact that Rashi says in the Mishnah, which is the Xera, putting your deek to the side, that the Xera is Mishum Chasnas. You know what I mean? You can't ignore that either. I hear that. You understand what I'm saying? It's a little bit different. The reason why I like saying that is because I think it fits naturally into what the issue is. Sometimes that happens. You create the gzera, and then in creating this decree, you also notice, oh, look, there's a byproduct that emerges from this.
So the byproduct was prevention of
achilas tameh? Yeah, no, since they see that there's achilas tameh, so you can't ignore that reason. That reason's there.
What do you mean the reason? You said once they created the gzera, this is the byproduct. So the byproduct would be the prevention.
No, you're right. So in not eating with non-Jews, what else is going to happen? You won't come to eat Dabar Tamid.
So naturally, this gzera, like his two words, one stuff, so to speak.
Right, exactly. But that wasn't the impetus for the gzera. The impetus of the gzera was that. But I'm trying to show you in the halakhic formulation. There's a difference between the effect of the chatzis being an effect versus through the eating experience itself. That's a different facet of it. Yeah, but I'm also saying, the difference between you and I is I'm saying not only is it structured around chasnas, but it's structured around bishul akum. And you can't ignore the fact that... What I'm saying is that they chose bishul akum as the halachic issue of chasnas. They chose that phenomenon. Right. No, and in doing that, in choosing bishul, which is ultimately expressed through my eating, they can't ignore the fact that in eating food with the non-Jew, what's going to happen?
Is it kavana or is it
byproduct? I don't know. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'd say kavana. I don't want... What does Sosa say?
Right,
he quotes the Ravid.
Yeah.
What?
I think it's the variant, right?
Yeah,
the
Ravid. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm saying that's how I pronounce it. The Ravad.
I know.
He's a Ravad.
Right.
It's the actual Ravid. What does he say?
Okay, whatever.
Right. So what does that mean? Right. So if Joe the guy calls you up and says, "Listen, I'm making you lasagna," and brings it over to my house, I can't eat it. But if Joe comes over to my house, now I'm going to make it a little simpler. He comes to my house, goes to my kitchen, takes out my cheese, takes out my pots and pans, makes me lasagna. That'd be mutter to eat. What? And a milk pot. That'd be mutter.
Or okay. A fish pot is not been new.
Right. Okay. That'd be mutter. Okay. So by the way. But I'm saying that for a reason. But it doesn't mean. But by the way, but they don't say that the fact that. But let's say I let. Here's the thing. But they're not saying that the non-Jews is using treif stuff because then is that necessary bishul akum? I can't eat because it's treif. So I mean, obviously the non-Jew he know. Especially today we apply. Oh, I know you're what he called you keep kosher. So guess what? I knew exactly what you needed. I bought the right kosher ingredients. I used disposable right. I used disposable aluminum. So he followed all the rules of kashrus. Okay, if he makes it in his house. Can't have it. Makes it in my house, it's fine. And Tosus comes along and says, well, how can you make that distinction? Right? It's a distinction in the act of bishul. He cooked it. Who cares where he cooked it? Why should it make a difference? Why should it make a difference where he cooks it? Now, you got to be careful. You got to be careful how to approach this. We're not just saying, it doesn't just mean, without getting too hypothetical, it doesn't just mean where his property ends and my property begins. Okay? There's obviously a deeper idea here. It's not just about where he is property-wise. That's why I'm trying to put the example of, if he came to my house, it's not just that he's making me lasagna in my house. It's that he's making my kalim, he's using my kalim and my milk and my this and that. What? According to who? I haven't given a story yet. So I said, but again, it's going to be someone live and saying, which is not that much different than what you're saying. But I'd say like this. I'd say that there is a difference between if he comes to your house, right? If he comes to your house, right? Well, let me take a step back. I already told you guys ahead of time that what makes Bishul Akam a little bit different. It's a funny thing. It's that there's a conceptual concern, right? But you see that even though they have a halachic method of expressing that conceptual concern, you see there's a lot of technicalities that come about that say it's not considered Bishul Akam, as you'll soon see. There's a lot of these bizarre principles that apply to Bishul Akam that make you a little bit uncomfortable, okay? But just an example I keep saying before, you see that if the Jew puts the steak on the grill, the guy comes along and hastens the cooking process, and let's say the steak was raw, even though you can argue the guy was primarily responsible for the cooking, it's not considered Bishul Akam. But why? What does that case show you? It shows you that there's an idea of hisaskus we've been talking about all along of the guy and his involvement in the process. You want to say it produces dependence, it's fine. But I'm just saying, ultimately, it's about his engagement in the process, okay? So everyone, Rabbi Natan would agree that if the Maisa Bishul, which we haven't defined what that specifically is yet, but if the Maisa Bishul is anything other than the non-Jew, it's not Bishul Akam, right? Because the hisaskus has to be an exclusive hisaskus, right? But I think the Ravad is introducing a different, he's saying there's another way you could define hisaskus, right? Think about it. If the guy comes to my house, right, and starts using my kalim, and starts using my stuff to make the food, you could argue that even though it's not an active hisaskus, I'm not actively involved in the bishul process. What? Right, but there's some involvement. It's a passive engagement. There's a partnership. He's using my stuff. That means that you can argue that that's another way to look at the maisa bishul. You could say that within the process of cooking, if he's not using his stuff, if he's using my stuff, if it's in my domain, if that's taking place, you can argue there that there's some hisaskus by the Jew as well. So the question is, when it comes to the hisaskus of the Jew, the involvement of the Jew to prevent it being Bishul Akam, does that have to actually be an overt Maisa Bishul? Or even the secondary involvement, or more passive involvement also we define as hisaskus as well. So that's what the Ravad is saying.
So
okay.
Can you explain why it's called the Shuk for Ben and Tom of the habit that
Oh, because one second. So that
Shuk is
excuse me, you'll see, that's commercial. You can start saying that commercial also changes it. But hold on, we'll get to that. We'll get to those cases. But just take, real quickly, before you leave, take a look at the Beis Yosef. He quotes the Archos Chaim. I looked at the actual Archos Chaim, he's quoting it directly. So we don't have to bring the Archos Chaim himself. Look at that sheet I gave you. He says, Kasav Archos Chaim, Kasav Ramban B'tshuva, Daiti She'in Isser, right, B'shvacha Salalu, HaKniyos Lanu, De Melacha De Eved Arel De Yisrael, He De Kanilo, The Maisa Yadav, Umuzo La B'Shabbos Min Torah, The Leisi V'Klal Gayim. Amazing thing. The Hilchach, Leisei B'chag Zeros, Dideu V'chein Nago. So Ramban suggests something phenomenal, right? What does he suggest? He suggests that, now, to understand something, he uses the word Knios Lano. Right, so it's hard to know. Does he mean, right, but does he mean like slave labor, right? Could be like indentured servitude, right? So he's saying if you have a non-Jew who's like, so for now call like a sort of like servitude where they have no choice but to work for you, right? Right, like the Deep South. So that's the case. Sure. The Ramban says that person is not defined as
a guy.
Why? What? No, I know because he says because Muzo love Shabbos Minatara. Right. So they know about Shabbos. They know. In other words, if you hire, this is very practical. If you have a live-in, okay. I mean, again, live-in's not indentured servitude, but you have a live-in, okay. So now, or a babysitter, right? So now. I don't know. The question is, if you explain to the person working for you, these are the laws, right? I know people do this all the time. These are the laws. You can't use, you label the pots. Don't use this pot with that pot, okay? So forget if kashrus is an issue. That's a separate question. But the question is, when it comes to Bishul Akam, would it apply by this person as well? So the Ramban is saying that this person doesn't have a definition of a guy. Why? Yeah. It's amazing because you're not concerned with chasness. You have to say that. In other words, he's saying he's not concerned with chassis in that situation. So that's where your idea of dependence, I think, will come in. So if that's why I was like laughing in my head. That's where dependence, I think, would apply. Because there, since the relationship of the guy to the Jew, not through the food, but through their relationship with dependence, where the guy is, he, in other words, he's
as doing... As a governor, they are subservient.
Exactly. So the unanimous chasnas can't apply. Chasnas is only where there's a certain objective by the goy to create fraternization. But if the nature, if once the relationship changes to one of I'm dominant, you're inferior, that kind of relationship, you're dependent on me, there the chashash chasnas has no mechanism to emerge. But the Rasha rejects that. The Rasha says no.
Even if it's in their own house, they should be able to compete.
What?
Even if it's in their own house, they should be able to.
Yes. You could argue that. Yes. Yes. But you can have a gob. That's saying, that's a din in hisaskas, in my learning. But if the gobber is someone who is in a subservient relationship to you,
well,
the chashash chasnas won't emerge.
Yes,
I mentioned before, it's funny that Tosfos brings this up now, okay? This is the kind of thing that could be brought up later on as we get more into the sugya when it comes to the technicalities. But the reason why Tosfos is bringing this now is to set the tone. Because the tone now is going to be, for the next like 7 or 8 Havim Maskanas, it's always going to be about how do we gauge the involvement of the guy in the cooking process. It's every question that comes up is going to be asking that over and over again. How do we gauge that? How do we give a halachic shear to what exactly it means for the guy to be involved in the cooking process? How do we take that idea of effort and give it a halachic expression? You'll see. So I think that's why Tosfos brings it in now. He's setting the tone of saying, get the Ravid out of the way, right? It's not an issue of passive hisaskas. It always has to be active. And now let's jump into that issue. Okay? All right. Shkoyach. So I'll...